Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Divine Realignment Podcast. My name is Julia Wesley. I am a medium and a channel for my guides, and what I really like to focus on are people's life purpose. That's just a really important topic for me. I think that that's something a lot of us sort of struggle with, trying to figure out what we're here to do and just how to do it, and it's really a calling of mine to help people align with that. Today I have my guest, Christelle, and she is an incredible medium. I think we may be having a little trouble having her jump on. So until we can figure that out. Christelle, are you there? Okay. Well, we'll just keep trying to make that work. But until then, let's get on to our topic. What Christelle and I wanted to talk about today was allowing yours to bloom, because that's really how you live your purpose, is you just sort of allow yourself to be yourself. And this is important because without being yourself, you're going to be unable to live your life purpose. And so let me just say that this is a live show and we are inviting people to call in. So if you do want a life purpose reading, please call 515-602-9669 and we would love to answer any of your phone calls and see what we get for you. So that's always fun. But I think another thing that we wanted to go over is just how easy it is to live your life purpose. Because I think a lot of the times for many people, we have this impression that living your life purpose, if you weren't born knowing that you wanted to be a teacher or to be a nurse, that it's just something that was just never going to happen for you. It seems like something that's just so far out of our reach that we don't even know how to wrap our heads around it. But it's sort of a misconception. So, as I've said before, in order to live your life purpose, it requires being yourself. So if you're someone who has a hard time knowing who you are, then you're going to have a hard time aligning with your life purpose. I think Christelle is here now. Can you hear me, Christelle? Okay, still not able to hear Christelle, but let's just go in and just keep going. So I think that what's important to know is that as you know yourself, you know your life purpose. And that can be difficult for some people to wrap their heads around, just the whole know thyself kind of a thing. Hey, Christelle.
Hey.
Hey. So glad we got you. That was weird.
Yes, I'm so happy it finally worked.
Yay, good. Okay, so let me introduce you. Everybody, this is my friend and fellow medium, Christelle, and we wanted to come on here today just because, well, first of all, we're doing a virtual gallery reading on the 16th. The link for that is in the episode description, and it's going to be so much fun. It's $40 a ticket. Frankly, it's a steal. And so you should snap those up before those go away. And also, we just really wanted to come on here and talk about what it is like to live your life purpose and what it, how that entails. And another thing that's funny about Christelle and I is that we sort of have identical training. We didn't know each other as we were going through this training, but as when we met, we're like, oh my God, you studied with this person? And then it was just funny like that. So, yeah, I mean, what's your experience about, like, how did you come into this, like, living your life purpose?
So it's interesting because a lot of people will say that the way that they experience their spiritual awakening is kind of hitting a really low point and having to find their way out of that hole and then having the realization of what their purpose is. And I would say that, you know, first off, everyone has a very unique experience to them, and what feels low to one person might not feel low to another, but it doesn't matter because it's all about how you identify with it. And I share that because I know a lot of people kind of compare what they're going through and use that as their test of, well, is this bad or not? And I share that because it's really big for me to share with people that not to compare themselves and to rely on themselves to really figure it out. But yeah, so I was going through a really tough time. I hated my job. All the relationships in my life, I was really distancing myself, and I felt like a lot of relationships weren't authentic, or I was getting into a lot of arguments with people. And it really just felt like I couldn't control anything or nothing was going my way. It was like pity party of one was what I was living. And I knew that in order to change things, I was really going to have to shift how I was living my life. So it's funny because it started with a therapist that I found her. She was in my neighborhood, and I wanted to go with her because she's a licensed social worker, but she also is an energy healer. She's a shaman and a Reiki master and a crystal healer, and that's what drew me to her. And I was not woo-woo whatsoever. I was very practical, fact-based, like none of that, but for some reason it intrigued me. So that kind of led me on this path of like seeking out what is grounding, what is raising your vibration, and what is meditation. And so that's what led me to my first workshop where I really learned what all of that was. And it was like a ladder had been thrown to me into this deep, deep hole that I dug myself into. And it was climbing out and, yeah, and learning all of this stuff that really led me to my purpose, because it raised a lot of questions for me, and it was in addressing those questions that it really came to the point that, you know, I just like helping people, and it's in helping people feel empowered that I really found my purpose.
I agree. Like, helping people feel empowered is probably the most rewarding part of giving someone a life purpose reading. Because they're like, I never considered that thing that you were just talking about myself as a gift. And just, like, having people, just feeling them light up like that, like, it's just my favorite thing. But I also think it's important. I like how you said helping people come to the realization themselves and not relying on other people to tell them what their life purpose is. I think that I completely agree with you on that. But I also think that that's something that, when someone goes to a psychic for a life purpose reading and they want something concrete, like, oh, tell me to be an air traffic controller. Exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't do that for you because you have to know who you are. You are your life purpose, right? Like, so you have to know, what do I like to do? And what do I want to do? How do I want to do it? And that is actually, like, personally, my guides will never give someone a cut and dry answer of who they're supposed to be, because first of all, they wouldn't take that discovery away from you. And if they tell you who you're supposed to be, then the motivation's wrong. You know, like if I were to tell you you're supposed to be a teacher, you'll be like, okay, great, I'm going to be a teacher. But why are you going to be a teacher? You know, like, you have to know that why about yourself. And I think that's hard for someone. I've also gone through depression and anxiety, and it's hard if you're coming from that place of such a low vibration to sort of look at yourself to figure out, well, who am I and what actually do I want? Because then that requires self-reflection, and that's something that generally if you're dealing with mental illness, that's something that you avoid, right?
Yeah.
And so coming to the understanding of, okay, so in order to live my purpose, I have to be myself, but then I have to figure out how to like myself, and I have to figure out how to be myself, that's like a whole other, like, can of worms. And so I think it's really important, like, you brought up grounding and stuff like that, and just meditation, and how can I figure out how to stand myself? And for me, what I started with was started with meditation. And I was just like, you know what, I can't live like this anymore. Like, I can't, be so depressed that I should like probably hospitalize myself. So I started with meditation and I was like, well, it can't be, meditation can't be anything worse than what I'm already going through. And it actually, even if I could do only 30 seconds at a time, it actually helped and it actually improved. So I think if you're someone who's going through something that it's just, you don't like to be with yourself, then just try meditation. Like, just give it a shot because like every minute counts, right? Like it all counts to, you don't have to start with 20 minutes at a time. You can just do drops in the bucket and it all adds up. So that's, I mean, like if we're going to talking, if we're going to be talking about allowing yourself to bloom, like you, first of all, you have to be willing to be with yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And yeah. I think that like a lot of people, and I think you can agree with me because we kind of talked about this before, and I was very much the same way, where you really just rely on someone to tell you what to do. And
yeah.
I think, like, I'm not telling anyone, like, you know, F the man, do whatever the heck you want, but especially mm-hmm. in a time like this where we're taking instruction from leaders on what we should and should not do, for some people, that is triggering them, and it's
right.
causing all sorts of emotions to come up. And, like, I have a friend mm-hmm. who, she's a healthcare worker, and she co-parents her child mm-hmm. with an ex, and it came up, like, oh, she decided to let her child live with the dad while, you know, all this coronavirus business is going on in the hospitals, and she was just getting so depressed and so sad about not being able to see her son. And mm-hmm. to me, it's like, okay, but you can't just make yourself suffer. You have to know
right.
what's right for you. And just because someone mm-hmm. tells you, I think that's the biggest thing. A lot of people are like, well, we're being told we can't go outside. Well, what's going to change between them telling you you can go outside and you can't go outside other than their word? Like, you have to know what's right mm-hmm. for you.
Right. And then I also think it's also an opportunity to, maybe it is safer for you to not be outside. Maybe it's safer for everyone to not be outside. But instead of seeing it as an opportunity, or instead of seeing it as someone telling you what to do, can you twist this as to where it's an opportunity for yourself to, well, okay, I can't be outside, but what can I do inside? You know what I mean? Can,
right.
can it, instead of distracting myself by being outside all the time, is this an opportunity for inner work? And I think that the time that we're in right now, especially with the pandemic and coronavirus, that a lot of people, they do feel, I agree with you, I think they feel triggered by being like, well, someone else is telling me what I can or can't do. But I think really what it is they just don't know how to feel by themselves. They don't know how to be with themselves.
Yes.
So I think
yes.
if we take this opportunity, and this is a perfect time to come into your life purpose, being forced to be inside and do nothing but be with yourself is, there is no better opportunity. I don't know if we're going to get a better opportunity in our lifetimes to figure out who we are and what we want than right now. I mean, it's like a forced vacation, what we're having right now. Like, you can't do anything but be inside and be with yourself. So, you know, do some inner housework. So I think that
exactly.
the more time we take for ourselves, and the more time we say, okay, well, I don't like it when someone tells me what to do. So what do I want to do? Do I want to be my own boss? Like, I have known for a long time that being my own boss was the ultimate goal. But it wasn't really until the shelter-in-place orders came through that I was like, okay, what do I really, if I know that I can't do this forever, then what do I actually want to do? And this was a really good opportunity for people to be like, well, I've got nothing else going on. May as well figure out what's going on inside, you know? So I think reframing these situations as opportunities is something that, and really that's what depression and mental illness is. It's your inner you is saying, hey, notice me, pay attention to me, because
yeah.
you've been ignoring me for too long, and I want to come out. I want to come out of my shell. So I think that's a really good point that you brought up, and determining for yourself what you want. And that goes back to the motivation thing. Like, what are your motivations? You have to know what they are. I can't tell you. Like, you have to feel them. And that's the whole part
yes.
of how it's easy to be yourself once you know those things.
I think it's also good to share that you know how you mentioned that your guides are never going to share more than what the person can handle, or they're not going to tell them straight out what they need to do. And it's important for people to know that if you go into a reading and you think that things are going to be handed to you on a silver platter, it's because you don't want to do the work. And so you have to know that you bring that energy into that reading and that you get met with the same kind of energy, where it's that, well, kind of like, excuse me, but half-assed.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, so it's like when you start to do the inner work, not only do things start to open up and you're aware of more of it, the more is given to you, because now you're ready for that. It's like you've peeled back the layers to allow for it.
That's exact. I think, thank you so much for bringing it up, because it's important that as a step is revealed to you, that you actually take that step. Like, if you're going to be co-creating with the universe is only going to give you what you're able to do at the time, and they're not going to give you more until you complete the assignment in front of you. So I think it's really important. Yeah, it's really important to, when you're saying, okay, I'm ready to live my life, I give up, I'm going to live my life purpose, I surrender. And they're like, okay, well, let's do this. And you're like, I'm just going to sit on this for a while. And then you'd be frustrated when you're like, why isn't more happening? Well, you have to do what, you know, you can't get seconds until you eat what's on your plate, you know? So I think that that's an important part as well. But let's talk about kind of how easy it is. Once we get over the hurdle of being with ourselves, figuring out how to stand ourselves and maybe even love ourselves, like, what is it like to actually live your purpose? Because I think there's a lot of misconception of people are intimidated by their life, scared to be themselves, and they just think, well, my dream is too big, or I just can't do it because it's unrealistic. I can't be a medium. That's crazy. No one wants me to do that. But I think that as you understand that your life purpose is to be yourself, it sort of comes with this guarantee of success, because if being your life purpose is to just be you, well, there really is no chance for failure. So I think that it's important that for people to reframe that about that. Like, let's say you're like, I really want to write. I want to be the next J.K. Rowling. And you just think it's too much. And you're like, oh, I could never. Well, just start with writing anything. And then as you gain more faith in yourself to do what you came here to do, then you're going to be able to fulfill those dreams. But at the same time, you have to realize that it can be easy, just as long as you're being yourself. And that's what I've found as well. Whenever I feel like I'm struggling, it's because I'm overstretching myself. Like, I'm trying to be someone that I'm not. Is that something that happens to you?
Oh, totally. And the whole idea of kind of closing the door before you even take the first step, it just goes back to not even giving yourself the opportunity. It's like I've read a lot of Eckhart Tolle recently, and it's really just your ego making you doubt yourself. And instead of, like, in the idea of reframing the perspective, instead of telling yourself that it's too big, like, exactly what you said, start small and then let yourself just feel the joy in those little things and let it snowball, so that as you think about it, as you progress, it doesn't feel so distant, because when you look at where you are and where you started, then you see this is possible because look at the leaps and bounds that I've made.
Yeah. And I think it's important what you said about being in that energy of actually doing what you want to be doing and celebrating those small successes, because that vibration of feeling good doing what you want to do, no matter how small it is, that's important. Like, that it's supposed to feel like that, right? That's what it feels like to bloom. It's like, oh wow, that it's almost like stretching out a muscle that has just been curled up for too long, and you're like, oh wow, that feels great. I just want to do that all the time. And it's important that you allow yourself to have those, because they're like little rewards on the path to just living your purpose all the time. And so I think maybe sometimes
when people are afraid to live their life purpose, whether it be because they're convinced they need a regular 9-to-5 that's just not working for them, or just they think their dream is they just can't accomplish it. But when you sort of give yourself those, they're almost like treats, how good you feel after you live your life purpose. And it's, I think it's probably designed that way so that we can be enticed to live our purpose. Like, it feels good on purpose. But I think it's important that you realize that when you're doing something that feels good like that, it's because it's supposed to. That's what it feels like to live your purpose. So
right.
When you assume, like, that's what it feels like. It just feels like, oh, that feels amazing. Like, oh, I just want to do that all the time. Like, after I give a reading to someone, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's perfect. That's it. That's all I want to do from now until forever.
and
I think that, yeah.
So when people think like, oh, it seems so distant and it the thought of it scares me, all it is, living your life purpose, is just being the truest form of you. And that's why it feels so easy when you do it, because you're just being more of yourself. And anything else is resistance and trying to do otherwise, which takes work. Like, if you're not going to be in your natural state, obviously it's work, right? So.
Oh, yeah. I agree 100%, especially when it's that whole reason why when you come home from a job that you don't really like, you're exhausted because you've been forcing yourself to do something you didn't want to do all day, and that takes energy. That takes work.
Yeah.
So hopefully when you're living your life purpose, you come back from it energized. Because it's easy. You're just being yourself. You're just expressing what you came here to express. And I think that's sort of, it sort of allows us to kind of like breathe new life into the life we were living before, but just not the way we were supposed to be.
Yeah. When I think about kind of how it felt from when pre-identifying my life purpose to post, I remember my narrative was basically, that's all like hierarchical. I can't reach that point. I'm just a lowly support person. And I built up these narratives in my head that they were unattainable. And as I started to turn it around, and once I kind of got to the point that I had been keeping at a distance and telling myself was unattainable, when I got there, it was almost anticlimactic, because it was like, oh, okay, so now I'm here. And it really is so simple. Like, why was I so intimidated by it? And it's almost comical how it works out that way.
Yeah, I think it is sort of anticlimactic. Where it's like, oh, well, it's like, that was easy, you know, like who, but I think it also comes with this expectation that your life purpose is work. You know, so when something is easy, you take it for granted. And you think, well, that's obviously not something I can make money off of, or that's obviously not what I came here to do, because it wasn't hard. You know, anyone can do that.
Yeah.
And I think that you have to value what it is that you bring to the table. And you have to think, well, maybe other people can do it. Maybe they can't. But regardless, they probably can't do it exactly the way I can. So there are dozens, hundreds, thousands of mediums out there. I don't know if the world needs one more, but I do know that I bring my own, you know, and my own unique perspective is going to help at least some people. And I think that not overlooking that, being able to recognize it and, I want to say, almost cherish it within yourself, is what's also going to help you sort of keep your mettle while you're pursuing living your life purpose. Because, I mean, I know for me, it took some sticking to my guns to be like, okay, I'm actually going to do this. I'm actually going to do it. Like, I had to talk myself into it. But then I also had to tell myself, actually, this is valuable. This isn't just, you know, I'm not just messing around here, you know? And like, even if you're someone who wants to write a book, they're like, oh, there's so many books out there. It'll just never work. Well, you don't know that. You know, like, don't call yourself a failure before you've ever given yourself a chance to succeed.
And I think that's important as well, especially in the very beginning, you know, like don't talk yourself out of doing what you came here to do before you've even given yourself a chance to do it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as people are listening and they're thinking, okay, well, all these questions are running through your head about your life purpose. And some of those things that some of the thoughts flowing through your head might even be your ego talking you out of it, but just totally trusting in your guides and knowing that they'll take care of you. Because I would come across clients that I always tell them to write a letter, and they're always worried that what they write in the letter might not be perfect. But it's not about the end goal. It's about the journey. And I would tell them, you know, whatever you write now, it's not set in stone, that it's fluid. And if it's not meant to be, your guides will show you that. They're going to help you figure it out.
Yeah, that's a good point. I learned that as well. To write a letter to my guides. And that was something that I always struggled with, because I'm like, I don't know what I want as a medium. I'm like, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know if this is what I want to do for a living. And I think it is important to realize that whatever you write on paper, like, you're allowed to change, you know, like your life purpose isn't static. I mean, you're a dynamic human being, so you're allowed to change as well. And your life purpose is allowed to evolve and to grow, and it's even healthy if you let it do that. So let's just say you're like, well, right now I really want to be an author, but maybe I don't know. Maybe I'll also open up a horse rescue. It's like, great, do it all. You know, like, don't limit yourself. Don't niche yourself when you don't necessarily have to. But, you know, if you also feel the need to niche yourself, do it. But I also think it's important, like what you said, nothing is anything that can't be changed when you write a letter to your guide. And I also think it's important to note that everyone has guides, even if you're not planning on being a medium. So it's an important, like, it's a good exercise to do, even if you're just like, you know what, I really just want to be a small business owner and I want to open up a deli. If that is your calling, then you have guides out there who will help you with that. I think and to give someone like a concrete step as to, well, how do I start living my purpose? Even if you think it's crazy to think that you have guides, it's still a good, what do I think that I want right now? Put it on paper, see what it looks like. What does it feel like to read that as if you already have it? What does it feel like to be in that energy? How does it, you know, it's a good exercise. How does it feel? Do you like it? Would you change anything? And I think that that's a really great way to make it start happening. If you're struggling, is to be like, okay, well, I know what I want, but how do I do it? Like, well, just be in the energy of doing it as if you're already someone who owns a deli, as if you're already someone who's a nurse, as if you're already someone who's a teacher, anything like that. Just do the thing regardless of whether or not it pays you at the moment. But it's important to just be in that energy so that you can start identifying as someone who does the thing that you want to do. Let's say that I want to own that deli. Well, I'm going to start making sandwiches. I'm going to go out and I'm just going to buy really fantastic meats. And I'm just going to make the best darn sandwiches you've ever made. And I'm just going to be in the energy of someone who owns a deli. And that's all. And then it'll start progressing from there, because it's like you're signaling to the universe, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to live that life purpose. I'm doing it now. See? And then the universe will be like, oh yeah, you are. Let's keep doing it, because apparently you like that and that feels good. And it will meet you. It'll meet you. And I actually have a teacher who likes to say where you're going and where you're coming from. So if you're coming from a place of depression, or you're coming from a place of frustration, or you're like, I don't know what I want, that's exactly where you're going to end up, because you're not allowing yourself to change direction. So, but if you're coming from a place of, I can do this, I already have it, this is who I am and this is what I'm doing, well, then that's where you're going to go. So writing that down and stating not only to your guides but to yourself, this is what I want, at least for now, that's a really great way to get you started in that direction.
I love that. Where you're going is where you are coming from. That is so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sort of like blew my mind when they said, I'm like, oh my God, that's so right. Because I don't know about you, but when I was in my depression, I was like, everything sucks. Everything sucked for years. But it wasn't until But it wasn't until I actually sort of changed my momentum. And it was in the moment. It wasn't necessarily who do I want to be in the future. It was who do I want to be right now, that things finally started changing for me. And it wasn't all at once, but it did make a significant change. Like, I'm not who I was even 2 years ago. You know, I'm in a much better place. But I mean, that's just how true it is. So you have the ability to pivot your life at any moment you want. And if all of a sudden you decide to pivot your life from someone who's deeply unhappy with their job or deeply unhappy with your life, however it is, that you can start living in the energy of someone who already has what you want. And that sounds like a lot to do, but I also think that is also as easy as just allowing yourself to have it. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I think I know a lot of it, like, as I recall my own experience, it felt like such a deep, dark hole, and I didn't know if there was ever going to be a way out. And to just take small steps to just find something to be grateful for in that experience, whether it be recognizing that this is something that you don't deserve, or even just being grateful that it's showing you how you don't want to feel. It's those baby steps, because you just need to start with baby steps. That's all it takes.
Yes, I completely agree. And that was how meditation, as I said before, meditation started that way with me. Like, 1 minute was torture. I could not stand to be in my own mind. And I was like, can't do this. We have to do anything else. But just that 1 minute, I'm like, okay, if I can do 1 minute, then I can do two. And then if I can do two, I can do three. But it did require some, like, deep inner work to be like, well, I don't, you know, sort of purge those demons in a way and get them out. But it's important to take those small steps. And I think that I don't want to say undercounting, but sort of don't consider them to be insignificant. Because if all you can take in the moment is a small step, then that's all you need to take, really. I mean, I think, as we stated before, the universe is not going to give you more than what you can accomplish before you've already accomplished the step that you need to take in front of you. So it's just, if all you can do right now are small steps, then that's all you need to do. Like, don't overwhelm yourself. But I also think that sort of ties back into how the real struggle is holding yourself back. And me personally, I think that's where my depression sort of stemmed from, was that I was, for some reason, I felt unsafe to be myself. And I did not like myself. And I was just really hard on myself and holding myself back. And that was the actual source of my depression. And that was what was hard. And when I came to that understanding that the hard part is not being myself, then it was sort of almost like, I'm still having a hard time like wrapping my mind around the idea that what's actually hard in life is not doing what's in alignment with your highest good. Did you have that same struggle?
Oh yeah, totally. I think what really triggered me though was, in the same way of not being myself, it was around the time that I had just gotten married and I had my first kid. And for me, it was social media was the major trigger. Everyone is kind of setting this expectation of how your life is supposed to be and how your relationship is supposed to be. And they're painting this picture of this unrealistic existence. And before my husband and I got married, we did not live together. And I had my own friends and I was all about doing things on my own and having my own time. And I mean, even when we first started dating, I lived by myself. I was very used to still having some form of independence, and then getting married and having a kid, it was like I was trying to adapt to the narrative of your spouse being your one and only and doing every single thing with them, and then your kid also being that for you. And it was a real struggle for me. And so it was like I was trying to force myself into a box that I was never meant to fit into.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's really what it feels like. And the constant energy of forcing yourself to fit into this box is where the stress is coming from. So mm-hmm. I think where a lot of people get hung up is they just think, I know I grew up with this mentality that is supposed to suck because that's why you call it work. And it was a mentality that I grew up with in my family. It was something that actually my dad taught me, who is a wonderful human being, and I love him to bits, but it was something that he had to assume himself in order to provide for his family. So he was like, okay, I hate this work, but I need to feed my kids. And so he told himself, you know what? It's work. It's supposed to suck. You don't have to like it, but you do have to take care of your family. And so I absorbed that as well. And so I was always thinking that, well, my life purpose is it's supposed to be hard. If it's easy, I'm doing something wrong because I'm meant to struggle to be abundant, essentially. And I think getting rid of that mentality, which was another thing that was holding me back, the idea that I was meant to struggle was a struggle, believe it or not. And once I was able to sort of jiggle that idea in my mind, loosen it up a little bit and be like, does it really have to suck? Is work meant to be stressful? And is it possible for it to be easy? And I'm still learning that, actually, is that I'm still surprising myself with how easy I can allow it to be. And sort of using, is this stressing me out as a guidepost to should I be going in this direction? You know, so I think it's something, again, like sort of spinning something on your head. Is this stressing me out? Is this easy for me? Is this something that feels in alignment? Then maybe instead of being, you know, being down on yourself for being stressed and being like, I don't know what I want to do. Well, at least you know what you don't want to do, you know, like
right.
Your body's always communicating with you and telling you when something is right and when something isn't right. And so you can use that as well. If you're struggling, you're going in the wrong direction. You're swimming upstream. It shouldn't be like that. You don't need to walk against the wind to get where you need to go. And I think that that is actually a struggle for a lot of people. And I think a lot of older generations, as well, older than my generation, at least, is the idea that work is meant to be hard. And certain work can be hard, especially if that's how you're going to approach it. But just being yourself is easy peasy, you know? It's just loving yourself enough to be yourself. Does it have to be hard? And I think that's another thing that this situation that we're in, all being quarantined, we have the ability to be like, well, how do we want life to be like after quarantine? Do I want to go back to a job that was killing me? Should I even go back to a job that was killing me? Like, maybe I should do something different. Maybe I should live life in a way that feels easy, so that, you know, like a spring reawakening, I guess. And I think that's a really unique opportunity that we have right now. And I really wish people wouldn't squander it. You know what I mean? Like, if we're going to start living our life purpose, like, this is, let's start now.
Yeah.
It's just something I've been thinking about for a while. Like, I wish instead of everybody being angry about, I want to go back to work. Well, are you sure you do? Are you sure
yeah.
you want to go back to what you were doing?
And, or going back to the way things were before. Because I'm in the same boat as you, where I feel like we've been given an opportunity to kind of return to ourselves and mm-hmm. kind of reimagine how things should be going forward.
Yeah.
And to just turn around, to just move forward, but also kind of take it about face and go back to the way it was before seems
yeah.
ignorant almost, because it's like, why would
yeah.
you experience this? It's like eating amazing food and then saying, no, I'll never have that again. Like, I want to eat the trash.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
I agree with
it's
you. I
wasteful.
Mean, my husband and I, we talk about it where we're like, you know, I actually kind of like what we're going through. Or, like, personally for me, I know I've been questioning, is this is this how things should look going forth? Because I'm in the same boat as you, where it's like, I know I'm doing this job, but do I really love this job? And what do I really love? What is really calling my attention?
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. It's this strange place where you feel like you shouldn't be enjoying the situation. And I'm not saying that I enjoy the pandemic, but I am saying that because I am being afforded this unique opportunity to work from home, which previously I was told was impossible. And when suddenly the impossible becomes possible, then you're like, well, how else have I been held back here? Like, what else is actually possible when this whole time I've been told and just accepting that it's impossible? And I think that in itself is sort of a powerful realization, because it sort of shakes the hold that, I guess I can say, your old life had on you. Because I know a lot of people are out of work, but I think that also brings to the realization that maybe the work that I had was not as safe and as secure as I had thought. And so maybe I should take this opportunity to see what is within me that no one can take away from me that I can use to support myself. I think that we had this opportunity during the Great Recession, and I think a lot of us maybe didn't use that opportunity for what it was to say, well, what within me is something that I can use to support myself? And I think that we have that opportunity again now, should we choose to use it for what it is, to ask that same question of ourselves, to be like, well, what gifts, what do I bring to the table? If I, you know, like what, I guess if you want to use the bargaining system example, like if I were to bargain with someone for something, what would I offer them? And I think that that's probably a good way to do it. Like, let's say you're going down to the grocery store and you need a dozen eggs. You're like, I don't have any money. But what I can do is, like, what is that thing that you can offer other people and no one can take away from you? I think that that's another good place to start. It seems like a crazy example. I'm not sure where I came up with it, but I think that writing your guides,
because some people can't go to the market right now and get themselves eggs.
Yeah, you're right. So it's like, okay, I don't have money. I don't have the money that my previously safe job, or at least I thought, allowed me to have. But what do I have? And I don't envy anyone who's in that position, because it's scary not having your own income, and I understand that. But I think instead of sort of being afraid and, frankly, endangering our lives to go back out too soon, maybe we should just take this opportunity to be like, okay, let's knuckle down. Let's realize that what we were doing before is not working. It's not as safe as I thought it was. And so if the only thing that was holding me back was this illusion of safety and being afraid to go out on a limb and do whatever I wanted to do, well, then what really is holding me back now? If it's this idea that, well, I need my health insurance, or, well, I need that 401k, or, well, I need those tips, and you don't have them now, well, was it ever that safe? You know, or maybe you're able to provide yourself the safety that you thought someone else was only able to provide you. And I think that I know what was hard for me about that was that I didn't really trust myself to do that. I always thought, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm not able to do this, or maybe I don't have the infrastructure needed to take care of myself. I don't know how I'm going to get reliable work, but who is it, JCPenney's that's going out of business now? Like, well, neither did they, you know, like, I don't know. I just think that people shouldn't discount your own ability to take care of yourself, which I think holds a lot of people back. Like, if my dad would have followed his own dream instead of doing all the jobs that he did to take care of us, who knows? Maybe he would have. And I'm not saying he ended up in a place he's unhappy with, but I would have liked for him to at least take that shot. You know what I mean? Like, I want everyone to give themselves the opportunity, at least give yourself the opportunity to fail. I don't think you will, but give yourself a shot.
I think I just want to highlight something you said, which was thinking about what it is that you could offer if you were to barter, and mm-hmm. and identifying with something that it's something that is with you no matter what. And
yeah.
I thought that was really good, because when you think about your life purpose, it's kind of something that's at a soul level. Like, this is part of you no matter
yeah.
what happens. And
exactly.
so it comes back to the whole idea of, like, your identity isn't the career you've chosen. Your identity is you no matter what happens. Like, it's there
yes.
throughout all of your emotions and throughout all of these jobs. It's the core of who you are, and your purpose is to bring that forth. It's all about fully embodying
mm-hmm.
who you are.
Yes. Beautifully stated. I love how you said that. And I think that coming here to express who you truly are is probably just the best way to state what your life purpose is. So how you decide to express that and not identifying with your career is just how you decide to express who you are. So if you're someone who likes to teach, I don't know, if you're someone who likes to teach people how to drive a car, and you're just like, okay, well, I could be a mechanic, I could be blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. It just matters that you express yourself, because your gifts are you. And I think that, yeah, again, it's not something that will ever leave you. So I think if you're going out there and you're afraid to fail, which really is the same kind of, it's almost just like the opposite kind of side of the coin is being afraid of success. Like, it's the same root fear of being afraid to be yourself. You're not really, you're going to keep coming back to this idea of, I need to express myself. I need to just be who I am. And it's going to keep calling to you and calling to you. And maybe your first couple tries, they fail. But it's just because you're trying to find the way that fits you best as how to express yourself. So I think that's something that can hold people back as well. Like, failing the first couple times and being like, well, it's impossible. And I think that people owe it to themselves to keep trying and keep trying. You're just trying to find, you know, what door opens easiest for you.
I think something that you mentioned earlier is also asking yourself why. Like, when you're going through something, like, let's say you're trying and it's not working out, it's giving yourself that moment of pause to truly reflect on it and ask yourself, why isn't this working out? To be able to see the lesson or the gift in that experience, to be able to grow from it. Because, I mean, sometimes when you're going through a cycle, you don't realize that you're basically going through a cycle and that you've ignored kind of the red flags or the little alerts that are popping itself up to catch your attention, to tell you, hey, this isn't
mm-hmm.
working out. Move on.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. I think it's also important to note when something is working, but don't necessarily consider the whole thing a failure. I think that that is something, when you're going out on a limb and you're being yourself as your business or your career, I think that because you may be coming from a place that you consider to be so vulnerable, that any time that you think that you're being rejected in any way, or something's just not working, or it just can't be done, that we may sometimes have a tendency to overreact and to go back and say, well, this is impossible. I just can't do it. I'm just gonna go work for someone else. But I think if you were to, as you said, give yourself the opportunity to realize what is the lesson this is teaching me, and to regroup and be like, well, is this not working because it's not actually in alignment? And ask yourself that question, is this actually what I want to be doing, how I want to be doing it? And I think that this is a much easier question to answer than people think. Just go based on how it feels. Do you have fun doing it? Do you like doing it? Are you forcing yourself to do it? And is that why it's not working? Is it taking too much of your energy and you don't want to be? You know, so just be easy with yourself, because this isn't something that's supposed to be stressful. And just, you know, as you said before, like, give yourself the opportunity to absorb the lesson. And I think that's important as well. I like how you said that.
Yeah.
So let's see here. I think that we've pretty much covered. Do we want to leave people with what do you think is the best step to take to realizing and living your life purpose? What helped you best?
So I think if I were to leave people with maybe one or two nuggets to really stew on mm-hmm. when it comes to realizing your life purpose, it's mm-hmm. to allow yourself. First, give yourself the permission, because you're not going to get anywhere if you don't at least allow yourself. And then the second thing would be to just enjoy that journey, because the journey mm-hmm. is just as great as the destination. I mean, that path is going to take you in all sorts of directions, and it's all perfectly planned for you, and to just mm-hmm. trust it.
Yeah. I love that. That's great. That would be really hard advice for me to follow, because I am someone who really likes to take control of a situation. I don't know if you can tell, but I absolutely do. And to surrender to my life purpose, it makes me feel like, well, am I just giving up? Am I just saying, okay, life purpose, come and get me? Like, what does that even mean? And as someone who comes from the perspective of you're supposed to work for things and it's supposed to be hard, it's hard to let go of the idea that you can just sort of sit back and understand that it's a co-creation rather than just a Julia creation. And I would say if you're someone who also comes from that type A perspective, then I would say understand the role that you play in the creation of your life purpose, and then understand the role that the universe plays as well, because you can't ever really truly do anything by yourself. We're none of us are separate. Everything affects everything. Nothing happens in a vacuum. And to understand, well, what do I bring to the table, and what do I actually need to do to make this work? Understanding that you don't have to do everything on your own, I think was an important lesson for me, because I was just like, well, I don't know how to surrender to my life purpose because I don't know what surrendering means. But
yeah,
what I can do is I can hold up my end of the bargain and trust that whoever else is out there to hold up their end of the bargain, I'm just going to see if that works. Because the trust aspect of that as being a type A was also hard for me as well. But just saying, okay, I'm just going to do my part, and I'm just going to see what happens when I let the universe do their part. And just try that out, because it's not always necessary. Like, I think your way is easiest, and if you can manage to do it Chriselle's way, everyone, you should definitely do it that way. But if you're hard-headed like me, and you're just like, I need to know what my role is, I think sort of humble yourself a little bit and sort of take that load off your shoulders, at least half of it, and sort of have a sort of a come to Jesus moment with yourself, where how much of this is actually my responsibility? How much of this is solely me? And I think you might come to the realization that there's more support for you out there than you realize. And I know, like, let's say if you want to be a medium, like Chriselle and I are, and you're out there and you're like, well, who are these guys? Who am I getting this information from? Just try and see, you know, like just for the heck of it, just mess around with it and just try giving up control just a little bit and just see what happens. It's a low risk situation, you know, but on top of that, I would also say meditate. If you're trying to figure out your life purpose and you just can't stand to be around yourself, just try meditating. And I would say that would be it. Meditate with no expectations and just figure out, how do I react? What do I like to do? And just start there. Just start small, you know, like what Chriselle said earlier. But no, I definitely think that, Chriselle, your way is the healthier, more well-rounded way to go about things. But let's talk about ourselves. Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to share. It's so true, though, because so many of us, we've been conditioned to be fact-based, to have like an empirical thought process. So it can be tough to really just like, I think it's a lot of trust that's involved or a lot of ignorance involved. I mean, take your pick. So I mean, I totally get it because I would say in the beginning to surrender to my purpose was easier than to actually integrate and allow everything to come through. Cause that was just like that where I was like, okay, so like, what do I do now?
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, I agree with that. And what was hard for me was, well, how long do I have to wait before my life purpose comes to me?
Right.
That was my own problem. But yeah, it really is integration and just being in that energy of it. I like how you said that. But now let's talk about ourselves. Let's talk ourselves up. So you go first. You are Chriselle, a fantastic medium, and you can be found on Facebook, Instagram, all those fun places.
Yes, thank you. So I like to call myself a spiritual practitioner because kind of along the lines of I'm still realizing and integrating everything that I think that I am intended to be playing with. I'm still learning so many different modalities and so many different things to help people, but I do typical readings, I do energy healing, and I've recently been getting a lot of channeling and downloads, so I've been posting those, but you can find me at www.chriselcan.com, and then I have links to my Facebook, my Meetup, and my Instagram. And I'm kind of building up my YouTube library with all those wonderful channeling videos that I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to kind of present that to the world. But I guess this is also my way of presenting it to the world.
There you go.
But I also want to play up our event that we have coming up on May 16. We do limit it to 10 people so that everyone gets a reading, and it's over 2 hours. And, you know, sometimes we do those one-hour live readings with 10 people, so 2 hours gives us a lot of time to really get into the meat of it with people. So definitely buy tickets for that.
Absolutely, you guys. I know Chriselle is just, I mean, really a fantastic medium, and I don't think I'm necessarily too shabby. And I think that having 2 hours and both of us there will really allow us to give a more well-rounded reading, even though there will be 10 people. We'll just really be able to get into the meat of it. So it should be a lot of fun, and I'm really excited about it. And so I am Julia Wesley of DivineRealignment.com. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram. I give life purpose readings. I do animal communication, mediumship, and I am also a channel for whatever guide is speaking to me at the moment. And all of our links are in the episode description, and we would love to work with you. And I think that's it. You think any final words, Chriselle?
No, I had a lot of fun. So thank you so much for bringing me on here. And I'm very excited for our virtual reading next weekend.
I'm so excited too. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to us for an hour. And all right, I think let's end it.
Thank you.
Thank you.